I appreciate the kind introduction that Mark has given me, and I want to say that it's a joy to be with you here today, and I appreciate the invitation for my wife and I to come and to be with you, and I'd encourage you to follow along with those things that I have to say, that you might see for yourself that these things that I'm going to talk about come from the Bible, the Word of God. And I'd just like for you to know that I'm just a servant of the Most High God. And I'm not above anybody or below anybody, but I believe I just want to be as God would have me to be and to do the work of an evangelist in His kingdom. Well, as we begin this morning to look at this lesson, I've entitled it, Do We Really Have a Choice? There are many honest and sincere people in the world today, but yet they've been misled by this idea or this statement, attend the church of your choice. Now, that means that what they're saying is that you can choose from about 1,500 to 1,600 different religious bodies in the world today. It's also said by some that you have the right to the faith of your choice, the baptism of your choice, the name of your choice, and the worship of your choice. So all these statements are based upon this belief that one is as good as another. It really doesn't matter, you know, what you believe when it comes to religion. After all, we're all striving for the same place. And so I raise the question this morning, is this true? Is it? Do we really have a choice, spiritually speaking? Well, to begin with, I want to talk about our Constitution. You know, our Constitution in and of itself gives us the freedom that we have in this country to worship the one true God if we so desire. It gives us the right to worship an idol if we so desire. It gives us the right to worship an animal or the heavenly host that is above. Or we could even worship a man if we so desire, because our Constitution gives us that right. It guarantees our freedom, if you will. And so we may legally choose to worship how we want to. We may legally trust in Christ or Muhammad or Buddha or whoever we want to as a Savior. We have the right to reject all, of course, and to embrace atheism if we so desire, because our Constitution gives us that right. We can legally say, well, God doesn't exist, and Christ was nothing more than just a plain, ordinary man while He was here on the earth. Well, He's just a man who had a lot of good morals, and He preached and taught that, and people kind of picked up on that thing. Or, because of our Constitution, if we want to, we can go out here and worship the devil if we so desire. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. Either hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so the point is, it's kind of hard to serve two masters. The reason being is they demand different things, don't they? God demands one thing, while Satan demands something else. And so here's our Constitution. It's given the freedom, if you will, to every citizen to worship the way he so desires and chooses. But that doesn't mean, does it, that he's scripturally right just because one worships according to their own freedom. Our freedom of religion does not ensure acceptance with God, does it? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12, he said there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, there's a lot of things that might seem right unto men. There's a lot of things that seem right unto me. But that doesn't mean they're so, because I'm just a man. And that's, others are just men, of course, too. And so, but yet they use this idea of freedom, you see. Attend the church of your choice, you know. Choose whatever you want to do in religion. Have it your way, so to speak. And so, this is the kind of idea that's kind of come up today in our world. And so, our freedom to worship the way we choose will lead to eternal separation from God. And so the Bible is going to judge us. Some people seem to think that this Constitution that we have is going to judge us. Not so. The Word of God is going to judge us on the day of judgment. And Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words is one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Well, Jesus said, you know, we can reject His word, but Jesus says, I want you to know something. That same word that we reject, that man might reject, is going to judge you. See, we're not going to be judged by this Constitution. We're not going to be judged by the creeds of men or the opinions of men or the philosophy of men. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. Yet when you talk to people sometimes, you would think that this is what's going to judge us, our Constitution. Wrong. It's wrong. That's the wrong kind of thinking, if you will. And so man does not have a scriptural right to choose something that is contrary to the Word of God. You stop and think about this. What about God's choice in all this? Where's it at? I don't know if anybody's ever stopped to consider that, but you know God has a say in all this. But people don't seem to think that God has a say, or that He has a choice. Does man have the right to choose something different when God has revealed His choice on the pages of inspiration? Why, no, sir, they don't. And no man does. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 and 9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now there's, God says, now look here, there's quite a bit of difference between my ways and my thoughts. See that? You see, man doesn't think like God. God is way above man. That's what God is saying here. And so the point is that we must listen to God. And man has the right to accept what God has revealed on every matter concerning spiritual things. And the man who will not accept, you see, God's choice is cursed, and he's headed for destruction. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 1, in verses 8 and 9, Paul said, "But if even we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." The idea of accursed means anathema. It means to be reserved for the divine judgment of God. That's what that's saying. And so, you see, if we don't choose God's choice, that's what's going to happen to any person, you see, who seems to think that they have their own choices in religion simply because this Constitution grants us the right of different freedoms in this country. Well, when we think about this idea, do we really have a choice? Let's look at the next point. Let me suggest to you that God reveals His choice. In the book of 2 John in verse 9, John said, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." And so if we transgress God's law, God says what? Well, you're on your own. The only way to have fellowship with God and His Son is to what? Is to walk in the truth. And to do what God would have us to do. In other words, God has revealed His choice. And God expects us to listen to Him and to walk in it. Right? And so we're going to have to abide in the doctrine of Christ if we want to be saved. That's God's choice. What about the book of Revelation in chapter 22 and verses 18, 19? You remember there that as God closes out His divine revelation to man, what He does is He gives a warning to man, doesn't He? And the warning has to do with tampering with the Word of God. Because you see, the point is, God's saying, I've already revealed my choice. Now you adhere to it. You obey it if you want to go to heaven one day. And God said there in Revelation 22 and 18, 19, He said, "You don't add to my word, because if you do, I'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book." And then God says what? "Well, don't you dare take away from my word, because if you take away from my word, I'll take your name out of the book of life," didn't He? That's what He said there, and out of the holy city. Now, friends, that's God's choice, and that's the way God feels about the matter. And so we must obey God and not man. And then we come to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 4 through 6, notice what the Apostle Paul said. And I'm sure we're familiar with it. He said there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, he said, and in you all. That's what he says there. And so, one can clearly see from the Scriptures that God has made his choice, right? Now, why ask this question? How many's one? You know, it's kind of odd to me. We take our children, and from a very young age, we begin teaching them how to count, right? We teach them what one is, and two, and three, and four, and five. And maybe we have different ways of teaching. You know, you put an apple up there, and you tell them that's one apple. You set another up there, and you say, well, now that's two apples. And you set another one up there, and you say, well, that's three apples. You take one away, and you say, well, now there's two apples left. Take another one away, and there's just one. Well, my point is one, right? But isn't it kind of odd to you that once we grow up and become adults, we no longer know what one is? Isn't that what God is saying in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6? He lists all these one. One's one. I'm going to tell you something. You know, when I go overseas, they know what one is. You know what? Do you know that when you go all over the world, mathematics is the same? Do you realize that? And one is one. I don't care what country you're in. Why is it that when we become adults, we no longer understand that? That we look into the Bible, the Word of God, and when God says one, we seem to think it means many. That we've got a multiple of choices. Not so. That's not true, ladies and gentlemen. And so, do we have a right to choose between one? Why, of course not. God has made His choice, right? He said one. One is one. Well, let's look at something for just a moment. He says that there is one Lord. Well, we ask the question that is one Lord as good as another? Is it? And do we have a choice of lords or of saviors? And when can one scripturally choose Muhammad or Buddha or some other man as their savior? Yes, it's legal according to our Constitution, but is it scriptural? You see the point? Can one be saved by choosing a Lord other than Christ? Why, no, they can't. Remember in Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, where's salvation at? Salvation is in Christ. It's not in a man, but it's in the Son of God. That's what Acts 4, verse 12 teaches. And you know what? That's God's choice. That's God's choice on the matter. God has chosen, and salvation is through Jesus Christ. Well, he said there in that passage, there's one Spirit. And so do we have the right to follow the Spirit of our choice? Do we? Has God given us that right? But look at the text. Look at your Bible. He said, God said there's one Spirit. So is one Spirit as good as another Spirit? Would we dare to say that is true? Would it be okay to believe an evil spirit of the devil rather than to believe the Holy Spirit of God? Huh? Well, what else did he say? Well, he went on to say that there's one hope, didn't he? Just one. Is one hope as good as another? Is it? Is the Jewish hope of heaven as good as the Christian's hope? Would you put your hope with those who rejected Christ as Savior? Would you? And then he says what? He goes on to say that there is one body. And well, of course, the body is a church according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Because it said there that God has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Now watch this. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And so the Bible uses those words interchangeably. It teaches us that the church is the body and the body is the church. And he said what? God said there's just one. Just one. But yet people say, well, you know, that's pretty narrow-minded to believe that, you know, there's just one church. Yeah, but I didn't say it. God said it. And you know what? That's God's choice. That's God's choice. That's what God has chosen, see? God chose one choice. I mean, one church. And so does this then give us the right to choose another? Now, legally, you can according to the Constitution. Right? We've already proven that, but not scripturally. You can't do it scripturally. And then he goes on to say what? Well, he says there's one faith. And so do we really have a choice of faith? Do we? People say, well, you hear people say all the time, well, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. Why? We're all striving for the same place anyway. Is that true? Is that true? Do we really have a choice of what we can believe? Is one faith as good as another? Why, look at all the faiths that we have today, 1,600 throughout the world. Now, you read this Bible, what does it say? Be honest. God said one, didn't He? That's all He said. It's not hard, it's not complicated, is it? There's just one faith. Is one as good as another? Well, no, it's not. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am He, what? Well, you're going to die in your sins. That's what Jesus said. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 to 12, among other things, the Apostle Paul said there that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. That means not obeying God. See that? They had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, they did things their way. They didn't do things according to what God said. Now we go on, and what's He say next? Well, He said there's one baptism. Who said that? God. But yet you hear people say, well, one baptism is just as good as another. Or you hear people say, well, hey, I don't have to be baptized to be saved. Right? People say all kinds of things. But I want to ask you something. Who chose baptism as a means of salvation? Immersion in water. God did. I don't have a right to come along and say, well, you know, baptism's invalid. Baptism's void. See? It doesn't work like that, ladies and gentlemen. And so do we really have a choice of baptism? Is sprinkling and pouring as good as immersion? Is it? Is it on the same level? Bible baptism, ladies and gentlemen, is a burial. That's what Paul said in Romans 6 and 3 through 5. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk, what? In newness of life. And so the Bible clearly teaches us that baptism is a burial. Colossians 2 and verse 12 says, Paul said there that we're buried with Him in what? In baptism. And then he says, in which you also were what? Raised with Him through faith in the working of God or the operation of God. Well, what happens in baptism? Well, that's in baptism is where our sins are forgiven. That's where we contact the blood of Jesus Christ. We rise up out of the water, you see, cleansed of our sins. And then we are a new creature, a new creation, if you will, in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches, ladies and gentlemen. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21 that baptism doth also now what? Save us. Is that complicated? That's not hard to understand. Baptism saves. How can you misunderstand what Peter said? And so Bible baptism is for what? Well, Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38 that Bible baptism was for the remission or forgiveness of sins. Didn't he? And that's the only way that anyone is going to receive remission of sins. Right? How? By choosing God's choice. Right? God has revealed His choice, ladies and gentlemen. But then there's one more. He said that there is one God. And so we think about that. Is one God as good as another God? Surely no one would dare say, oh yeah, one God is just as good as another God. You don't hear people say things like that. They understand what one God means. That there's only one God, the Father. We understand that, don't we? And so, do we have a choice of gods? Why, of course not. And most people see that. We don't have a choice of another God. What? Well, we understand that there's one God and that's it. That's all there is, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the point is that you can't choose your own way in religion. And so we shouldn't be deceived by men. Because men sometimes are cunning. They're tricky. They're sly. And that kind of reminds you of the devil and Satan, doesn't it? He's the same way. Well, men are like that too. They come along and say, well now, you can choose your own way in religion. That's not so. You don't read that in the Bible, the Word of God. And unless we choose God's way, we're going to be eternally lost. Now that's what the Bible teaches. Remember what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Right? Now, where's the Father? He's in heaven. Now, Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you want to see the Father, how are you going to get there? Jesus said, you're going through me. You're going through me. That's how you're going to get there. You're not going to get there any other way. And so what does that mean? Well, that means you've got to choose God's choice. And God chose that you go through His Son to get to heaven, didn't He? And you do it God's way. And so if you want to live eternally, you must follow God's way and shun the ways of men. And so there's no choice in religious matters. Didn't the psalmist say in Psalms 119 and verse 89 that the Word is settled where? In heaven. It's not settled here on earth by men. Of course, a lot of men would seem to think that they can settle the Word of God here, but it's settled in heaven. So you know what that means if the Word of God is settled in heaven? That means that there's no choice of gods, there's no choice of saviors, there's no choice of spirits, there's no choice of hopes, there's no choice of faith, there's no choice of churches, and there's no choice of baptism. And if you want to escape the damnation of hell, then you're going to have to choose God's choice. Do it God's way. And so the same Bible that teaches there's one God also teaches what? That there's just one church. Now think about this for just a moment. The Buddhists have as much right to choose an idol God, as one does to choose the church of their choice, not built by God. If not, why not? The Bible said that there is one Lord and one baptism, does it not? Sure it does. We saw that already. And so one has about as much right to choose Muhammad as a Savior as one does to choose sprinkling or pouring as a substitute for Bible baptism. Now, the same Bible which teaches that there's one Spirit also says that there's one faith. And so if we have the right to the faith of our choice, then do we have the right of the Spirit of our choice? And again, I ask, if not, why not? Why not? You know, the Buddhist then is just as safe in his choice and his substitutes then as the religious denominations are out here in their substitutes, you see. If one can be saved in a denominational church, then one can be saved in a Buddhist church. If not, why not? Why not? You know why? Because they've all rejected God's choice. And they're doing the things that they want to do. They've substituted their own choices for God's choices, haven't they? Now, that's not hard to see, is it? Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, Jesus said they worship vain. Why? Why is it vain? Because it's not according to God's choice. That's why. Men were making their own choices, trying to offer up things in worship that they chose instead of God. And so, no one can be saved in a human church. No more than the heathen could be saved out here worshiping a stone idol. You know what? So in Matthew 15:13, Jesus taught what was going to happen to the teachings of men. He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." I tell you what, you ever go through your yard, you see dead things, you pull them up by the roots, not growing, and you kind of throw them in a pile? What do you usually do with it? Burn it. Well, this is the idea. This is what the Lord's getting to here. Every teaching, every doctrine, every philosophy of man, the Lord said, is going to be plucked up by the roots. What's going to happen to it? Well, it's going to be destroyed. God's going to burn it. That's the idea. And that includes all these denominations that are out here. You see, that includes the Buddhist, the Islamic, and all the rest. Why? Why? Because they're doing things contrary to the will of God. They're not following God's choice, you see. And so, One needs to do what? Well, you need to leave the choices of men and turn to the choice of God. That is the one choice of God, you see, accepted by the one true God. If not, you know what's going to happen? One day you're going to be uprooted and you're going to perish. You choose God's way, friend, and guess what? You choose life. And then, finally this. What about the church of God's choice? Huh? What about that? Well, the church of God's choice, the Bible said, was built by who? It was built by Christ in Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." And so the Lord said, Jesus said, "I'm going to build or establish or set up my church." Lo and behold, the day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2. What was set up? The Lord's church, wasn't it? The apostles all stood up and began to speak, each man in a different tongue or language. That's what that means. They began preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the first time in the history of the world, people heard the gospel, the good news, that there's a risen Savior. The Messiah has come. See that? The Anointed One, God's Anointed One. Remember, Peter said, "You people took and killed Him." And they were pricked in the heart, remember? And they're the ones that said, "Oh man, we've done something terrible. We've crucified the Messiah. We crucified God's Anointed One," didn't they? What are we going to do? Peter told them what they need to do in order to be saved, didn't he? You see, no man has ever had the authority to build another church. If so, where's the passage? You can go back to Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1. He says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." See that? In other words, everything is done according to God's choice. If not, it's vain in the sight of God. And so man must follow the New Testament pattern today when it comes to building. Notice what the Hebrew writer said in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. He says here, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as what Moses was admonished by God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things," he said, "according to the pattern showed thee in the mount." Now how was Moses to build or construct that tabernacle? According to God's choice, right? That's not hard to see. Well, how's the church to function today? If a church is going to be planted, set up, and established somewhere, it has to be according to what? God's choice. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, friend, you stop and think about it. God has always added a pattern when He builds something. He gave Noah the pattern for the ark. He gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle. He gave Solomon the pattern for the temple. And He's given us the pattern for the church. See that? It's all according to God's choice. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So whatever we do in word or deed, we have to have the Lord's permission. We have to have His authority. And it's very simple. If we don't have the Lord's authority or permission for something, you just don't do it. Because it's not God's choice. It's not God's will. Now, that's a pretty simple passage to me. And of course, the church of God's choice must recognize Christ as the head. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Now, let me ask you a simple question. If Jesus said, "I've got all power," then how much does that leave for me or you or anybody else? That's pretty simple. Zero. None. Right? Jesus said, "I've got it all because the Father gave it to me." And so He's seated at the right hand of God in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, with all power and all authority. That's Colossians 1:18 says He's the head of the body of the church. He's the head. So the headquarters is where? It's in heaven, where the head is. It's not here on the earth. See that? It's not here on the earth. And Ephesians 5:25 said, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And He's what? Well, the Savior of the body. Today we've got men that are heads over some of these churches or denominations. Right? We've got a head over the Catholic Church. And what about these denominations? Well, we have conferences that meet that decide the faith and what they're going to teach and things like that. And so... Friend, the other thing I can say is that men have made the wrong choice. Because they're not following the choice of God. They're following the choice of men. And then, let me suggest to you this. That the church of God's choice must not only recognize Christ as the head, but they must worship the way God has chosen. Right? We just can't worship God however we want to. You know, I've talked to some people and they just seem to believe, well, we're just going to worship however we want to and offer it to God and just God should accept. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? Don't you think? I think so. Now, the Bible says that we must what? We must observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And we've already done that, right? That's what God's command. That's God's choice, Acts 20 and verse 7. God never wants us to forget the price paid for sin. What was it? The death of His Son. The blood shed on the cross. And God says, I want to remind you about that every week. Every first day of the week, I don't want you to ever forget it. That was a big price to pay, wasn't it? But we need to be thankful to God and to His Son for paying that price so that we can be reconciled back to God. Well, God says not only are we to have the Lord's Supper every week, but on the first day of the week we're to give as God has prospered us. And we're to give how? Cheerfully. For God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says. And we've done that this morning. We've done it because that's God's choice. And then, you know, you come to the singing in the Lord's church. And you'll notice there's no instruments. Why? Because God has chosen that we lift up our voices and sing. And He's chosen that we use what? Vocal music. We don't have mechanical instruments, do we? Why? That's God's choice. God has chosen that we sing this way. And so we obey God in heaven. And we do it that way. What about pray? We've heard somebody lead prayer. At the close of the service, someone's going to lead us in prayer. Why do we pray to God? Because that's God's choice. See that? And then God says, well, there's to be preaching from My Word. Well, that's God's choice, isn't it? God chose that. And so we must adhere to it. We must abide by it, if you will. Now, just some quick lessons to sum this up that we might learn. Our eternal destiny then is going to be determined by the choices that we make right now on this earth, right? Sure is. Now, we must obey God's choice in order to be saved. Well, what are we to do? Well, we have to believe in Mark 16, 16. Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, friends, if you're going to be saved, you must believe. You've got to have faith in Christ and His Word. You've got to choose God's choice. Right? If you're going to be saved. And then He said you have to repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. What's it mean to repent? Well, it's a change of heart that's going to result in a change of life. You're going to turn from sin and yield to God. You've decided that you're going to obey God and do what God would have you to do. And then, of course, there's a confession. Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, John said this, "Whosoever," he said, "confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." How's that going to happen, John? You must make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's how it's going to happen. And then he said what? Well, you must be baptized, as we've already said. You've got to be immersed in water. And then rise up out of the water then to walk in a newness of life, as Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. And so you can't attend the church of your choice and go to heaven, can you? That's what we've seen today from the Scriptures. You have to attend the church of God's choice that follows God's prescribed method and means, right, in order to be saved. You've got to obey what God has said, right? And then, if you will believe in the one God and the one Lord, listen to the voice of the one Spirit as He speaks from the pages of the Bible, believe and obey the one faith revealed therein, submit to the one baptism, God will add you to the one body, the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, and you'll have the one hope of heaven. So it simply comes down to this. We're going to have to accept God's choice to be saved. And if we're not willing to accept God's choice, we will spend eternity separated from Almighty God, our Creator. Now that's sad. That's real sad. So should you be here this morning, and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you'll make that decision this morning to render obedience unto the God of heaven, choose His choice, you see, and be baptized for the remission of your past sins, that you might rise up out of the water as a child of God, a new creature in Christ, and that you can go on your way rejoicing as the eunuch did. Or maybe you're a Christian. You know, you've strayed away from God. You're following the broad path in life. That's going to lead to destruction, Jesus said. Well, you need to come back and be reconciled to God before it's eternally too late. Now, however we can help you spiritually this morning, we want to encourage you to come right now while together we'll stand and sing this song.